Good morning. I'm good, thank you. We're ready to keep cruising. We are running out of time to finish Daniel. So we'll take a look at probably a lot of the application more so than the specific details again, much like we did with chapter 9. I thought that worked pretty well. If you want a recap of chapter 9, there's a few extras from last week on the back table. What we'll do today, the new lesson is on the back. We'll take a listen to Daniel chapter 10. We'll walk our way through that, and then we'll see how far into chapter 11 we can get. So, Maestro, if you would, please, can we have chapter 10?
Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz round his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left, my face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, "Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you." And when he said this to me, I stood up, trembling. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face towards the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, "I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my lord, and I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe." Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. "Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed," he said. "Peace. Be strong now. Be strong." When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, "Speak, my lord, since you have given me strength." So he said, "Do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first, I will tell you what is written in the Book of Truth. No one supports me against them, except Michael, your prince.
All right, there's the chapter. We'll use the outline to go through and see if we can't glean out of here some, not just the facts of the story, but probably more importantly, what can we take away from this? How God interacted with Daniel, how we interact with God. Maybe we don't even have any business doing that. I don't know. What? Daniel 10, verse 1, the look section in the third year. This is about 536 BC. The Jews had already returned to Israel and were in the process of rebuilding the temple. The work was going slowly because of interference from their neighbors and because of politics in the Persian court. Humanly speaking, the Jews were at everyone's mercy. We'll talk about that more if we get to chapter 11. The final vision addresses Daniel's worries, assures him that God is in control and working through the foreign powers to accomplish his will, and that his promises will be fulfilled. In verse 13, we are introduced to Michael. He is the only archangel mentioned by name in Scripture. So there's just some of the details. But let's get into this, discuss this. You have a job to do. You are to see Ezekiel chapter 1 and Revelation 1 and Revelation 2, the verses that are noted there. And then tell us, who was the man who appeared to Daniel to explain the meaning of the vision? So do some homework. Peek at Ezekiel chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, verses 13 and 15, and Revelation 2, verse 18, for help.
Wasn't Gabriel an angel?
Yes.
Well, then he was mentioned by name.
An archangel.
Oh. What next to Peter, an archangel or an angel?
An ark.
An ark? Good response. Now, what is it?
No, a ruler, like a overseer. In charge angel, a head angel.
Oh, okay.
Gabriel was more of a messenger. Michael was the head of the age, kind of the top dog of all the angels.
Top dog, yeah, that's a scriptural, it's a technical term. Thank you. Oh, okay.
It's those pastor's kids who mess with the markers, you know.
Oh.
I don't hear the usual foolishness that it breaks down into. So that's telling me a couple things. One, we are either still studying. Two, we're ready to talk about it. Or three, we're all zoning out. Are we ready to go?
Yeah.
Number two, still studying?
No, number two, we're ready to go.
All right. Well, let's go then. So who was the man who appeared to Daniel to explain the meaning of the vision? Somebody summarize some thoughts from Ezekiel 1 that you found. Yes?
Well, some of the imagery is similar to what happened at Mount Sinai when God appeared to Moses, and also when God appeared to Elijah on Mount Sinai. He had the wind and the lightning and the storm, but the power that's there that you would expect from someone who was God when the pre-incarnate Jesus.
Okay, so when God shows up, big things happen. Yes?
It's very similar to the vision in Revelation. A man can't give an image or a vision.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be Christ.
Good. What else did you dig up? Maybe some specifics.
His description was similar to other passages where it seems to be the pre-incarnate Christ.
Mm-hmm. So maybe what does pre-incarnate mean?
Before his incarnation.
Yeah. Jesus before becoming fully human, taking on a body. Yeah. Good. I found that Revelation is most helpful. Why might that be?
State. Basically states the Son of Man in there, like the Son of Man. I mean, so it's telling you it's Jesus coming back.
Yeah.
Ezekiel is a little bit more in obscured. It's in more symbolic stated versus more specifically stated as it is in Revelation.
Yeah.
But then again, Ezekiel didn't know Jesus. He knew all of what was coming, but didn't know specifically.
Okay, Dick?
In Revelation 2, it talks about these are the words of the Son of God.
Okay, so you make that connection. He said in Revelation 2, it says these are the words of the Son of God. Like, there's pretty clear who we're talking about. Good. Those are the specifics. Yes, John.
Well, if you want to cheat, if you have a red letter Bible, when the person in Revelation starts speaking, it's red letters, which tells you it's Jesus. But also,
yeah, just like the Holy Spirit did it, right?
Yeah. But it's also helpful when he says, I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the living one. I was.
Good. And during Jesus' ministry, why did people get so upset with him when he would talk that way? By saying, I am the bread of life. I am. Yes, Dick.
Because those are the words they never used because they were saved for God.
Yes. Yes. So very clearly, Jesus is calling himself God. And then, oh, thank you.
Are you kidding me?
Woo! Yes.
He's got connections here.
Leave my cousin alone.
No, I wasn't
going to
give
one.
I still have one more hand. If anyone wants to start.
Like this vision and the other visions, God is preparing his messengers to let them know that these are going to be some bad times coming. And he's preparing them for how to handle that, that he is still in control, no matter how bad things can get. And they, you know, when the vision, next chapter, he gets into actually having Daniel interpret the vision. This is kind of preparing Daniel to understand this vision, but he has to be in this mindset that God has prepared for him. He has to be almost godlike, you know, to be able to even handle it. What he's going to tell us.
And who better for Jesus
than
Jesus to get him ready for it? Good point.
I think too much of what we as people do, we dare to dare no more. We live in the short term. What's happening now? And short term can be anywhere from 1 year to 500 years. In God's term, that's still one day, basically. So we live in the short term. He's looking at the long term. We're going to go through some problems short term. Long term, I'm taking hold. But we don't like living in the short term when it's in turmoil.
Yeah, much easier for God to do, who is eternal and is not bound by time and knows everything. Much harder for us to do because we are bound by time. And I'm just saying exactly what you're saying. We are bound by time and we are not omniscient. We don't know everything. But it's comforting to know that the Lord does. Yeah, good point. Again. Was someone over here wanting to comment? Or am I making that up? How else was I making that up? Okay. All right, so who is the man? It's God himself. A good way to look at it, the pre-incarnate Christ. You make that connection with Revelation and who is talking, what Jesus is talking there. So, again, Father, Son, Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. You know, Jesus is not just interested in you in the New Testament. Been God from all eternity. Always been involved in your eternal salvation. So, all those factoids we're going to keep in mind as we get into number two. What was Daniel's reaction to being in the presence of the Lord, and what lesson can we learn from that today? Take about a minute and share with somebody next to you, just so that we get our minds going and we're all engaged. What's Daniel's reaction, and what lessons, you're going to need a couple minutes, especially with the what lessons can we take away today. So let's just slow down and spend some time with that.
Or
he said. Don't be afraid. Stand up. I have nothing sent to you.
The ones who didn't see the vision were troubled.
All right, let's go one more minute, and then we'll see what we came up with. All right, what was his reaction to being in the presence of the Lord? He was terrified. What else is going on?
Well, his physical condition must have been in such a state that if anybody that looked up, they ran away. His friends took off. I mean, I read one commentary where he just turned grotesque. I mean, he was so, you know, he was so emancipated. He was so down and fearful. I mean, I can't even imagine. I mean, the scripture that he must have, the state he must have been in, with such being, you know, in the presence of the Lord, you know, caused his physical condition to even be challenged, where he needed the Lord to even pull him out of all this.
Okay. And we're talking about that over here too. Why? What did anybody else care? They couldn't see the vision. Yeah. Well, because of what was going on with him, he was terrified, and it showed. Yeah. Yes, Donna.
Having no strength, turning pale, and feeling helpless, and then falling into a deep sleep. And I've fainted many times in my lifetime. Oh. It feels just like that. So it almost sounds like he's describing that he kind of fainted and went into this deep sleep until he was brought out of it, told to stand up.
Maybe that's a good way to describe it, how he was feeling. Sure. Maybe some of you can relate to that feeling right before you're going down. No?
Yes.
Yes, John and Steve?
I think it's interesting how similar, there's differences, but there's similarities between what happened to Saul, who became Paul, because the folks around him couldn't understand what was being said. You know, just like Daniel could only see the vision, Saul could only see the Christ, and then there were physical impacts on them too. With Daniel, although we know that Daniel was right with God, so to speak, and so Daniel had the effect that he kind of fell on his face and passed out, and the Lord touched him and brought him too. But with Saul, who was blinded by his rejection of Christ, he physically became blind until God removed the blindness from him.
Yeah. Interesting parallel. This is there, Steve, and then Dave.
It's interesting in other ways. Daniel, who was so favored and has taught, and you've been able to interpret the dreams, and God has taught him, is as scared as any human being is ever been in the presence of God. Here's a man that's so highly favored, and yet is still panic-stricken, basically, in the sight of God.
And wouldn't it be great if Jesus would show up? Sounds like it. Fran?
Same person.
Sorry about that.
When this person shows up, this person comes from a different dimension and kind of sets the, sort of brings that dimension with him, so that it could be that that area where he was had some, I couldn't explain what, but, you know, kind of fearful because you don't know, understand it, but other dimensions are kind of scary.
Yeah, you would imagine so. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
It's not every day that you are in the physical presence of God. Yeah.
I think I would describe his, the way he looked more like a seizure instead of fainting. Mm-hmm. Because a seizure, you become stiff and you get contort. We have a kid, we have a daughter that used to have seizures. And they contort and they just, it's awful. But where you're fainting, you just kind of like just fully go out and you kind of come to. But he even picks him up onto his knees and he's trembling. And, you know, and after the seizure, they're clammy and they're pale and they're, it's awful. So I would think that'd be more like he went into a have some sort of seizure than a, just a fainting spell.
Okay, so there was something physical going on and it disturbed everybody.
But if you see it and you don't know what it is,
yeah, there's different ways of looking at this, and yeah, Mr. Riedel.
In part of their problem, fear was they felt their sinfulness in the presence of the Holy God.
Mm-hmm. Can we hold, put that thought on hold for just a second? So we're going to come right back to that. Anything else on Daniel's reaction to being in the presence of the Lord? All right, then before we get on to part two, more homework, how about those of you on my right over here, look up Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. So Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, and then over here, what used to be my left and is now my right, Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 7. I think this helps us make, and we were jumping there anyway, so this will help us make an application of what Daniel went through. It was rather tranquil.
It's just the presence of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. He's letting us know he's here.
That's right. So we had a committal yesterday for Mr. Alvarado. And so I was getting ready to go, and, you know, Patty's very observant. And so she said, "Daddy, what's going on? Where are you going today?" I said, "Well, I have a great site today." And she said, "But Daddy, it's raining today." I said, "I know. You know, they'll get tense up." And then she said, "It's like all of heaven is crying today." You know? And then I thought, true, but if heaven is crying, it's because heaven is happy. You know, George is there today. That's a good thing. And then God's word is going to comfort the people there, and the angels are going to be rejoicing with the comfort that God gave to his family. So, sure. And back to work. Well, the presence of God, that's what that made me think of. Someone said the little phone noise was the presence of God, and then, you know, Heidi said, you know, God is there with the family. And okay, what is going, someone volunteer, read loudly Romans 5, 1 and 2.
You want to read?
John, sure. Yes.
Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
How do those verses temper the attitude that we take? You know, in the presence of God, look what happened to Daniel. What about when we enter the presence of God?
Yes. We have an advocate.
Yes.
Stand in.
Mm-hmm.
Substitute.
And what did he do?
Did it all.
Yes. Yeah. We have someone to take us right to the very throne of God.
Yeah, this peace in this instance is reconciliation. We've been reconciled. So God doesn't see us as other than sinless human beings. He doesn't see that sin anymore. You know, so we've been reconciled. We're part of the family. We are secure in that family of God, because he's done that all, he's reconciled us. That gives us great peace.
It does. And we, you know, Paul says, we are in that peace, we are in that grace right now. And then, see?
The key word maybe for me was in verse 1 of that would be justified. It's justified through faith.
Comforting to know that, I'll use me. I won't even use you. Have I sinned? Yes, I have. Does God declare me not guilty, justified because of what Jesus did for me? Absolutely. So that's why I can go into his courtroom. I've already been declared not guilty. And I have that peace. A reconciliation, another way of looking at it. Yeah, absolutely. Steve?
Look how different it is in the physical presence, as we are here standing, we're fearful in this. But we're in the spiritual presence, we are comforted and covered by Jesus. So it's that contrast. We don't have to worry when that happens, because we'll be in the presence, in covered, in reconciled, or whatever you want, through Jesus and before God. Today, if he came and stood in front of us, we better fall down on the ground and be scared.
Let's talk about that aspect of it. Someone read, or maybe summarize what happened in Isaiah chapter 6.
It's
which is different than what you just said.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm not picking on your answer. I'm saying I agree with you, but reverence is different than having to feel.
We know who he is, but we also know who we are. And can't believe that he would really know who we are and still love us and forgive us.
But he does.
But he does.
Because our sin has been atoned for.
Yes.
Yes, Paul.
I like it put this way. We have the status of a king, but we got duties of slaves. You know, all of Romans talks like that. We have this kingly status that God has won for us, but we must, our duty must be as a slave to that king, ourselves. You know, so we have these duties as a slave, but we have a status of a king. It's really...
Yeah, and what's the alternative? Paul says if you're not a slave to Jesus, you're a slave to... Right, and when we've been set free and made slaves to God, that's good. Yeah, good point. Good way of looking at it. So how can we reconcile this? Are we to be fearful, trembling, afraid of God, or are we to boldly march right into his throne room because we have access through Jesus?
I think
we must be bold.
I think we go to him boldly, but with an attitude of reverence. It's not fear, but just knowing his holiness, knowing I'm worthy, but at the same time, we know that we've been done before. But we can hold people for and in prayer and in asking for his help because of that.
Right. Yeah, we use the word fear, it's reverence. It's not that God wants you to be terrified of him. He doesn't want you to be afraid of him. He wants you to have a healthy respect of his judgment, because he does not take sin lightly. But he wants us to be able to approach him and to have that healthy awe and respect of him. You know, it was kind of like when I was growing up, you know, I was pretty convinced that Grandpa hated all of us. You know, I had a whole slew of cousins. You know, and we would, you know, Grandpa, he was, you know, World War II vet, he just had no time for it, you know, just like this. And so we had this, okay, we're going to go walk past Grandpa now, you know, because, you know, he knew we were goofing off and he didn't, you know, so it was that. But then you grow up and you wise up and you act a little differently around Grandpa, you know, that's, wow, you know, Grandpa loved me the whole time. You know, there was just a lot going on that needed discipline. And, but, so going into, you know, Grandpa's presence, are you afraid of him? No. Do you have a healthy awe and respect for him? Yeah, absolutely. You know, or if Mr. Obama would visit us today, you know, we would have a healthy awe and respect for him. The president is here. You know, there would be that respect for the office. You know? So, another good way of looking at it is, is fire. You know, fire is another one. Do you need to be afraid of fire? No! We have fire right up there during worship. Do you have to have a healthy awe and respect for fire?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a flame. That's not fire. It's just a little flame.
If you misuse and abuse fire, then you need to be afraid of it. So Daniel's reaction to being, he was deathly afraid, terrified, and to have that healthy balance between knowing this is the Lord and this is my Savior God. All at the same time. So healthy awe and respect for him. Yes?
In my notes from a previous Bible class, Romans 5 refers to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So the difference between Daniel and what we previously talked about, Saul, Daniel believed, and even though he was terrified at first, but as soon as the Lord touched him, by faith he knew the Lord was there to help him and he was comforted. But you can imagine Saul, for the 3 days before the Holy Spirit filled him, he must have been absolutely terrified after seeing Jesus, because it took 3 days before Ananias came and spoke to him and the Holy Spirit came to Saul and the scales, things like scales fell from his eyes and he could see again. So the difference between a believer, one who already has faith, and one who has no faith, when they encounter God,
So now what do we make of all this? Moving on to number three. In chapter 10, verses 10 through 19, Daniel was strengthened through a series of words and gestures. Trace how the Lord gave Daniel courage, and what lesson does that teach us? So how did the Lord give Daniel courage? He touched him. Yes, physically. You know, it's that comforting hand on your shoulder. Or when you're a kid, dad takes your hand. Or you're scared and someone gives you a hug. Yeah, it's better. God cared enough about him to come and touch him. What else did he do?
He immediately praised him. He's a man of self-esteem. I mean, he's God's chosen one. I mean, he's almost, you know, the next step was after he touched him, you're highly esteemed in God's eyes, you know. So that gives the words along with the touch gives him the strength to pull himself out of this. Without that, he couldn't make it.
Right. How many times do you tell him, don't be afraid?
Lots.
Twice. I guess the point is not just one time. How many times did he touch him? I heard three. Three times he touched him. Three times he comforted him. Twice he reassured him. And that's how the Lord deals with his people. You know, he needed to remind Daniel, this is who you are. And so he touched him, he comforted him, strengthened them. Why was Jesus there?
Well, there's no one else that could do what he did. I'm it. I am God, you know, and I'm the only one that can do this for you. There is no other. So you have that not only stability, but what I say works, and you know it works, so you can go on. I mean, it's just, there. Nobody else can do it. No human life person can do it. God.
Good.
Are we sure this is Jesus here? I mean, or could the character change? Because later on it talks about he was dealing with this satanic entity, Persian prince, and he had to call Michael to help him.
Yeah, let's talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. So, given if we're making this comparison to Revelation and the other times that Jesus appeared like this, and Jesus is here comforting him, answering prayer, telling him what this is going to be, things that only God could know. Jesus was there to listen to his prayer and to help him. The same reason Jesus comes to us too. What lesson does this teach us then? Whether from our perspective or God's perspective. Yes?
From our perspective, we can approach him like a dear child approaches his dear father. Like Luther says.
Sure. We have that right. We have that access to approach him and ask him for anything as a child asks a father. A perfect father. Good. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to have that relationship with him. Good. And what about from our perspective? Donna? Mm-hmm. How does he do that today?
Through the word.
Yes, through his word. Doing what we're doing right now, doing what you can do anytime at home, doing what we did first service, we'll do second service. Listen to him. And listen to him often. And now this is coming back from the very first lessons. Where did Daniel go to listen to the Lord? He went to Jeremiah. He went to Moses. Yes, God talked directly to him. But we go to God in his word. That's where God talks to us over and over and over again.
for this confidence to approach him.
Yes.
I was thinking of the sacraments.
Exactly. Come to him through communion, go back to your baptism to see what God did for you over and over and over again. That's where we gain that confidence to remind ourselves we have that access. We've been reconciled. We've been justified. So it's two things. It's healthy, awe, and respect, of course. It's God. But confidently go right to the throne room. You have full access right to God.
I think towards the end where it says it's written in the book of truth. I don't know if you're probably touching it, but that gives him the confidence. It's already begun. It's set. Just go forward. Just do it. Just go, you know. And that gives him that strength that it's already set. And I'm on this path, and it's not going to change.
Mm-hmm. If God's word is not challenging to believe because of what it is, it's challenging because of our weaknesses. And so he said, this is the truth. Yeah, good point. Well, let's move on. I think we can get to what Dave wanted to talk about. Number four, why was the Lord detained? Who helped him? What questions come into your mind when you hear this behind the scenes account? So this is one of those times where, you know, you read in some sort of commentary, this is difficult to understand, or there are different ways of looking at this. But what about that? Why was the Lord detained? In verse 13, it says, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Well, if this is Jesus, why does he need help? That's what we were discussing up here in a little bit.
It's not Jesus.
There's one option. This is not Jesus because
Jesus didn't need help. I mean, in the spiritual realm, especially, you just say, I mean, there's no.
Did Jesus wrestle with Jacob?
That's a whole other argument. What the wrestling really was.
Okay. I guess, so here's my point of saying that. Does God need to explain this for his benefit or for ours? Right. And then, you know, what does that conflict look when, you know, Jesus is constantly fighting sin, death, and the devil for us. Defeated them, but never going away until he comes back on judgment day. How do you describe that? Well, you have Revelation where over and over again you use all these pictures. And so if this is Jesus, then this is God telling us, what is that struggle like? It's like a man fighting the king. And so if this is Jesus, then whether it's Satan himself or something Satan is throwing at God's plan of salvation to rescue his people, that's going to be the picture that God is throwing out there, not for his benefit, but for ours. And so if it's...
So you're saying that Jesus, it is Jesus, and he just called Michael to come help him to give us a message or something? Or...
How do we fight sin, death, and the devil?
Prayer.
Definitely. What other tools?
Word and sacrament.
Word and sacrament. That's how God equips us to go out and fight the battle. And so if this is Michael, one of God's messengers, a messenger bringing the word of God to support God's people during this time, God uses his word. And so that's what I read, and it seemed to make the most sense to me too. That if we're carrying Jesus through this entire section, which I think we can, and then this picture is not for God's benefit, Jesus' benefit, it's for ours. You know, what is this battle like? Well, it's like a guy fighting the king. And then he calls in reinforcements. And God uses us. So Jesus hooked up with Michael, used him as his messenger to remind his people over and over and over again that he was in control. Even though and has it ever looked like from your perspective that God is losing? You know, I think so from time to time. It looks like Satan is winning.
I think it's important to understand that Daniel was faithful through this entire three-week period, this fasting, and he never quit praying and fasting and waited for God. He didn't complain, he just did what he felt was right at the time, and he stayed faithful. You know.
Because he is so strong?
No.
No, because God made him strong. Yeah.
When we use the word detained, we think it's in a human term. Maybe it wasn't God's time to let it go. He held him for the 21 days. It did us good to see that things don't happen immediately, even in God's will. He has a reason and a time to do things, and he let it go for 21 days, if you will. Then he unleashed what he wanted. So don't be concerned in the short term again for what the long term will be.
Yes.
And I'm going back with what Steve said, it's not yet, so there is a physical period of time, and I think it's interesting that number 21 is 3 plus 7, which is earth and God, times 3, which is God, and so it's like God pounding on it 3 times, so it's a period of, I think, intense spiritual struggle. So,
yeah. Here's a picture that you get. Here's a picture that you understand. Limited time. It's going to end. God is going to win. That's been a repetitive theme throughout this whole book, hasn't it? If you have a self-study Bible, the Concordia self-study Bible, I found it interesting. It said, "This is puzzling." Well, I know that. That's why I'm reading you. You know, you're supposed to have this unpuzzled for us. But it is just that. It is a struggle, and God is giving us a picture of what this struggle is like. Jesus fights for us. He uses his messengers, he uses his word, he uses his sacrament to help us. And is this struggle, do we still fight the struggle today? Yes, we still fight the struggle today. And just one more comment. The Lord also supported Michael. Also, so God supports you. God supports those who bring you the word of God.
Did we answer David's question?
What was David's question? I moved on along. Which was?
That it was Christ.
Is it really?
I think it was. It makes good sense. And again, I think the picture is for our benefit, not for God's benefit. Are there other alternatives?
Should the characters change? It's sort of. I'm just trying to read through it. That's possible.
Right, it is. If they didn't change, I think it makes good sense. And if it did change,
makes good sense.
It makes good sense.
Yeah. You know, the footnote in here says that the prince of the Persian kingdom was, they're saying it was a demon-inspired attempt to use the kingdom of Persia to thwart God's plan. So how does that come in to him? I mean, Michael has to help him, but the detention for the 21 days, being detained for 21 days, how does that come into it then?
Well, did Satan ever use a government to try and oppose God?
Sure.
Yeah, that's what this is too.
Okay.
It's whether Satan himself or something Satan has employed to try and ruin God's plan, to try and keep God's people from going back, from trying to keep Jerusalem from being rebuilt, trying to keep Jesus from being rebuilt.
Couldn't he
do
that?
Yes, I know. Right? She said, couldn't he have just zapped them? Yes, he could have, but this is for our benefit. This is the way he did it.
Boy.
We're going to get to that tomorrow. Sunday, next Sunday. Yeah, I'll be here tomorrow. No, but Egypt, the Syrians, and God's people right in the middle. And God told them through Jeremiah, don't do that. Don't look to Egypt for help. Don't look to the Assyrians for help. But they did. And then they're still being plagued by it, even when God says they go back. So this is, don't even mind that. Save that for next week. I do. Sometimes we pray, the bells are going to ring. Sometimes we pray to the Lord and do not seem to be heard. How might 10 verse 12 help you?
That's the point I was going to get at, is that it seems like Daniel was praying for what he wanted, but it wasn't what he wanted. It was for what God wanted for him. So there was just a subtle difference in his type of prayer. So that's a good thing to understand, is that you pray for what God wants for me, not what I want. It's just a subtle difference. You want to go pray for what you want. I'm not saying you don't, but it's God the ultimate center of this.
And I will be done.
And he understood that perfectly.
Good.
Yes, Steve, another thing I always amazes me, one way, as faithful as Daniel was in all that he didn't get to go back to Jerusalem. He had to stay basically in Babylon. You know, all that he did in his faithfulness, it still didn't change him. He got his people back there, but he didn't get to go. And so, what was his prayer to go there? Maybe, but he saw the bigger picture, that it would be more important that he stay there too. So, I mean, sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes it's no, more often than not, later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are a little past time. I don't know that the bells are going to tell us to stop. So we better wrap it up here. There we go.
Yeah, I'm just ahead of the game. Thank you for that. Well, God bless you, and be bold and approach God's throne with grace, because you have full access through your Savior Jesus. Thank you. See you next Sunday.
Back there.